Father, thank you very much for your word to us through the apostles. Thank you that as we read the words that Peter has written, we can be encouraged to live lives which are rooted and growing in you. Please help us to be pointed to Christ and his word this evening, knowing that it will strengthen us in our daily walks. Lord, please may you bless our time together this evening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, if you have a chance to, please look up 2 Peter 3, verses 11 to 18 together. And I'll read. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Amen. Well, as we are coming to an end in our series in 2 Peter, we're again reminded of the overarching theme of this letter. Peter is telling these Christians, set your eyes on Jesus. Continue growing in godliness and trusting in what you've been taught by the apostles. He outlines living for the future is really important. In fact, it should entirely shape how we live here and now. And what Peter is writing to this church in his letter specifically is still so important to us today. And the basis of our application this evening is reminding us to keep our eyes on what is to come so that we may continue on in our growth, both individually and as a church family together. The reminder from Peter is that we stick to what remains true, not being tempted away by false teachers or idols in the world. We need to be on guard, watching for those who might try to tempt us away, and to rest our eyes focused on the final coming of Jesus. This evening, therefore, we have two major points of application. Firstly, grow in holiness and godliness. And secondly, in light of God's patience, tell others the gospel. So, our first point on the sheet there in front of you this evening is grow in holiness and godliness. John, one of our ministers in training, his sermon can be found on our YouTube channel, and he really helpfully outlined that 2 Peter chapter 3 is all one piece of work. And from verses 1 to 10 of the chapter, we see the kind of head and heart application of this piece. The first half of the chapter really focuses on reminding listeners that while Jesus hasn't returned yet, he most definitely will. And so God should be praised because of his patience. This evening's passage really points to what we should be doing in light of Jesus' return. Since Jesus is coming back, then leading lives entirely shaped and changed by him are so vital. And again, we do that setting our minds in the future, not allowing ourselves to listen to the cultural voices around us to distract us from his glorious return, and instead telling our friends and family and anyone who will listen about this wonderful Savior. And this bodes the question, if Jesus is coming back, what kind of people should we be? Well, Peter's really clear. Christians are to be people who grow in living holy and godly lives. Read with me, verse 11. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? The way we live our lives now really matters. Why? Well, it's because we're expected to be waiting people. Three times in these seven verses alone, we're told that we are waiting. Waiting for the return of Christ himself. And as we look forward, we're to prepare ourselves to not be lured into a sense, false sense of security that Christ might not come back. And so we do that by growing in our holiness. We're able to guard our hearts from distraction. And verses 12 and 13 really help draw this out. Verse 12, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved. The heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But, according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. To hear this is scary, and rightfully so. Peter is reminding us, when this day comes, when Christ returns, it will be a day of judgment. He's telling us that Christ is bringing a new heavens and a new earth. But we can look forward to a place where righteousness dwells. God will reign as our true and sovereign King forever and ever. But again, it's imperative we keep sight of that. We look forward to the return of Christ to continue to grow. A few weeks ago, we heard that the Christian life is like riding a bicycle. If we stop moving forward, we simply collapse in a heap. This reminder to us today is the same. We need to continue growing so that we don't take our eyes off of Christ's return. Peter continues, as we grow in our holiness, we should be striving to be spotless and blemish-free, unlike these false teachers that he calls out here. In verse 13 of chapter 2, these are people who are described as blots and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions. Peter contrasts the Christians to these people, saying we need to be preparing ourselves for the second coming by making ourselves spotless. Another one of our leaders in training, Phil, a couple of weeks ago outlined what these people were like. They were these false teachers were licentious people who lived for their very flesh and enjoyed the things of this world. They believed that because Christ wasn't returning, they could live however they want. But Peter tells us, no, we're not to be like them. Read with me verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. Our whole conduct is to be entirely different to the world around us. Let me illustrate it this way. Recently, Phil Pickett got married to Helen, and it was a beautiful ceremony with both the bride and groom all dressed up in their finery. But imagine if they got up to the front of church and Phil had spilled an entire cup of coffee over Helen. It would completely ruin the look of probably one of the most important dresses in Helen's life. Totally ruin it. And that's a contrast that Peter is drawing here to the Christian. Imagine when Christ returns, you're standing in front of him, the most important day of your life, covered in a giant inky black spot. So the instruction here is, we need to work to be holy and spotless. We've talked a lot about holiness here, how important it is. And often, it can be difficult to know exactly what this means. What does the pursuit of holiness look like? Well, to Peter, we have this encouragement to live a life completely different to the world around us, with this return of Christ in our mind, to be different. And it's even more than that in this letter. To be holy is to be like God. One way it's illustrated in the Bible is that we're commanded as Christians to be holy like I am holy. We're to become more Christ-like. And this ties in with that idea of being spotless and blemish-free. We're told that Jesus was the only man to be spotless and blameless. And so we're told to pursue a life which is like his, being holy, to become more like God. And if you're sitting here today wondering if that's even possible, you're asking the right question. It's absolutely impossible to become more godlike on our own strength. However, we're given some hope within this letter. Chapter 1 reminds us God has given us all the things that pertain to life and godliness. When we trust in Christ, we've been given all the tools to become more like him. So when we're feeling like we want to give up and listen to the voices of the world around us to be convinced that living this Christ-shaped life isn't worth it, Peter reminds us when we trust in Christ, we are able to keep going, to carry on. So what does this growth practically look like? Well, there are a number of things that these passages point us back to. Firstly, we are to be completely opposite to what the false teachers are like in this letter. So we can't be licentious people. We can't give in to the desires of the world and of the flesh. Chapter 1 reminds us of the importance in growing in godly qualities, all of which are key, again, to keeping that focus on Christ. He says we need to be reminded to supplement our faith in Christ with virtue and knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. These are all traits that when we clothe ourselves in them, they help us to ignore the teachings of the world, which want to pull us astray, and to forget that Christ is coming back. Instead, when we do work on these things, when we apply them to every aspect of our life, we can encourage and grow with each other. Perhaps a worthwhile thing to do would be to prayerfully meditate on the list of qualities outlined in chapter 1. How might we grow and be shaped by these in our lives, in the workplace, in our family lives, as a student? Perhaps it's worth asking a close friend how you can strive to encourage each other to supplement these qualities, grow together. But we need to ask ourselves a question: what does growing in godliness look like to me? How does it look to be less like the false teachers, to be more like Christ? There's no one-size-fits-all answer, but we have to ask ourselves these difficult questions. Do we need to put to death our own pride, our own sexual sin struggles? Do we need to reevaluate the voices that we listen to in society constantly telling us Christ isn't coming back? I don't say these things lightly. These are so difficult. But Peter is so realistic. He's encouraged us that we are equipped to deal with these urges and struggles by focusing on Christ. If you're a Christian here today, you've been equipped with the Holy Spirit to be able to grow in our godliness. Before we move on, I want to be really clear here. This is growth and not perfection. The expectation of the Christian is that with our eyes set on the return of Christ, we continue to grow in our own faith. That means over time we're killing sin, growing in loving Christ and loving our fellow brothers and sisters more, and devoting our entire lives to God. We're not expected to be perfect right here, right now. So be encouraged. This isn't a call to give up, nor is it a call to compare ourselves to those around us. In fact, when we do, we get ourselves really stuck, and it will become overwhelming. Rather, Peter is encouraging us to not give up on our growth, and instead to encourage each other as we walk together. And that way, we'll help each other grow in our holiness together, helping each other never to lose sight of Christ's return. But that isn't the end of our passage today, far from it, because Peter has more instructions to his audience. As we move into point 2 on the outline, let's read verse 15 together. "And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him." And here's our second point of the evening, because there is another really important imperative. In light of God's patience, tell others the gospel. Over the last number of weeks, we've been highlighting the fact that Christ is coming back, but he has not yet. Well, why is that? It's because he's being patient. I'm not sure if you've considered the reason why Christ hasn't returned yet. Maybe you think it isn't because he doesn't want to. Maybe you think it's, well, because he doesn't exist and so he's not coming back. Well, actually, 2 Peter's telling us it's because of his kindness shown in his patience. God wants to allow more time for more people to come back to him in a full and loving relationship. You see, we've all sinned against God. That's why it's so important to caveat that Christian growth is a way which reflects the fact that we aren't perfect articles. Perhaps you're here today thinking that Christians are supposed to be like that, perfect. We're not. I'll tell you that for free. But what we are is a people who have trusted in Christ for our salvation from all the times that we've messed up. Perhaps you're wondering what sin is. Well, one commentator really helpfully put it this way. Sin is treasons against a perfectly pure sovereign. An act of supreme ingrate towards the one whom we owe everything. See, it's only through the saving work of Christ on the cross that means we can be saved. He is the only one that we can put our trust in for this salvation. Perhaps this is really new to you today. And if you're here in the halls or if you're watching online, I'd absolutely love to chat with you about this at some point. Please don't hesitate to get in touch. But please do take this away. We cannot make ourselves sinless in the eyes of God by ourselves and by what we can do. Only Christ, through his salvation work on the cross, can. If that's the case, know that his patience won't last forever. Return to him today. Say sorry for having lived a life away from him. And he'll just love to see you come back. Perhaps if you even said, or perhaps even saying it today. And if you do, please do get in touch with either Paul or one of the other staff members. If you're a Christian here today, maybe this makes you stop and think. We've been given such a wonderful gospel, something which does give real hope. We can be assured that Christ is coming back soon. We know that the people who we love need to hear about him, and soon. Peter in verse 12 has already highlighted that this will be a terrifying time. So let us go and tell of those who we love of the gospel. I'm sure we've all heard the story of Penn Jillette, a famous TV personality and vocal atheist, and his views on evangelism. He says, if you could believe that there's a heaven and a hell, and people could be going to hell or not be getting eternal life, and you think, well, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it perhaps socially awkward. How much do you have to hate somebody not to evangelize? I mean, if I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that a truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you, and this is more important than that. End quote. Here's an avid atheist who himself is stating the importance of sharing the gospel. Christian, if you're here today and you need some encouragement to share your faith with others, Peter is reminding us that God, in his graciousness, is holding off on returning so that more might come back to a full relationship with him. So, brothers and sisters, let us go and tell others the good news of Christ. Peter continues that this patience of the Lord isn't some new teaching. In fact, he's convinced it's the teaching of the entirety of Scripture. False teachers were twisting the words of Paul's letters to suggest that Christ would not be returning. They were using the fact that Paul was sometimes difficult to understand to attempt to lure people into believing that Christ's return was not sure. Also, I love how human Peter is here. I don't know if you were thinking this when reading through the passage, but I find it such a comfort to think that the Bible itself is saying some parts of Paul's writings are just difficult to understand. We've all been in Bible studies at some point, I'm sure, thinking, grief, I have no idea what we're talking about. And Peter's saying, yeah, I've read that, and it's not for easy reading. But don't mishear. Peter's saying that, yes, while it can be difficult to understand, it doesn't make it wrong. In fact, Peter points to the truth that all Scripture points to, Christ's return and our needing to be ready. He openly calls out these false teachers who are trying to lure us away, or the voices in the world, when they twist the words of Paul. He says that they're ignorant and unstable. Peter is warning us that we need to be on guard against listening to these teachings. Verse 17, if you read it with me, says, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability." Peter reminds us that all of Scripture, the entirety of the Old and New Testaments, both point us to Christ's return. Is it law or poetry or prose? The entirety of the Bible points to the second coming. And so for us today, we need to be on guard, not falling prey to this teaching which leads us into forgetting that Christ will return. Peter tells us not to be carried away. And how do we do this? Well, verse 18 is very clear. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. This letter finishes with no new information, but instead the reminder to continue on in our growth. Instead of giving in to false teaching or listening to the world, we need to keep heading in the right direction, growing in our love and knowledge of Christ. And when we do this, we give God all the glory. It isn't by how great that we're able to continue on, but through Christ's goodness to us. It's through the patience of God that more people are able to come to know him. And it's through God we're able to grow in our faith. And so as we close our time in 2 Peter, we're being reminded not to fall into worldly ways of living and not to lose sight of Christ's return. Instead, grow together as a church community, staying focused on Christ's second coming. And as we do throughout our lives, we give all the glory to Christ. As people come to know him and be saved, because of God's patience, we can give all the glory to God, knowing that the salvation work is done by him and him alone. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much that you are the one who has equipped us to grow in our holiness. Please help us in our weakness to become more like Christ. Help us to never take our eyes off of his return, knowing that you've been kind through your patience to allow more people to be saved. Help us as we share this, and please continue to change our hearts to be more like yours. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.